Chapter 13. The Dolrath soldiers worked to put all the dead goblins and bog devils in a pile away from the edge of the lake, and then they debated about the best way to dispose of them. The general consensus was that stripping and leaving them for the beetles would be easiest, but there was concern that the decomposing bodies could taint the lake, which was the main source of drinking water for this section of the caves. Nylamae, their captain, and the daughter of the Dolrath chief decided to have the bodies burned, and the soldiers set about gathering some of the scrubby plant life and any dry fuel they could find. Meanwhile, Amriel and I stood with the dark-haired captain and watched the efforts of the soldiers.
"That strange crossbow of yours makes a hell of a din."
Nylamae laughed as she gestured to my rifle. "Sorry," I said with an apologetic smile. "I don't use it unless absolutely necessary, and usually I'd warn my allies to cover their ears, but, well, there wasn't a lot of time."
"I've never seen anything quite like it,"
she continued, and her blue eyes slipped down to the rifle resting on my chest.
"The power it has is incredible. If I could get a handful of them for my men, we would be able to expand our territory right into the Twilight region if we wanted to."
"I find it useful," I snorted as I patted the Galil. "How long were you fighting before we came along?"
"Long enough to dispatch some of the smaller ones,"
the dark-haired elf replied as she pointed at the dozen or so bodies in the pile.
"The demon was controlling them, I think. I've never known goblins to attack in such a small number before."
I shifted uncomfortably when I remembered that as far as the Dolrath were concerned, I was supposed to be some kind of goblin. But after seeing the grotesque grayish-green creatures, I wasn't sure why the chief had bought my lie.
"We think the demon is at least partially responsible for the attacks that have been taking place,"
Amriel interjected as she watched two soldiers trying to start a fire under the bodies with flint and steel.
"If it has been using the lower orders of creatures from the Twilight, that would make some sense,"
Nylamae nodded.
"Though I don't understand how they have left no evidence of their presence until now. Surely there would have been a body, a dropped weapon, or something before now."
"We encountered the shadow thing before," I said as I turned my back on the makeshift pyre that had started to catch fire. "By the lake in the western half of the territory."
"It was alone that time, though,"
my red-skinned partner added.
"My mother needs to hear of this,"
the dark-haired captain said firmly, and her expression was grave but determined. "She already knows," I assured. "Well, she knows about the lesser demon."
"We just came from the encampment,"
Amriel explained.
"We told her, she thanked us, and then sent us on our way."
The smell from the fire started to waft over to where I was standing with the women, and my stomach lurched. The scent of roasting goblin reminded me of a hot dumpster by Lake Erie on a summer day.
"Let's move away."
Nylamae's nose wrinkled with disgust.
"The light of the fire will keep the shadows away, and the men can mind the pyre without us."
The two fierce women and I walked along the edge of the lake and away from the grisly scene of burning monsters, and I realized the lake itself was surprisingly beautiful. The waterfall crashed down over outcropping of rocks along the cave wall and fell in misty streams. Gloom mushrooms grew in patches along the banks of the lake, and their weak light was reflected back in the flowing waters, which fed the river that crossed the Dolrath lands.
"Did my mother say anything about organizing a hunting party?"
the elven captain asked as we walked. "Not to us," I replied with a shrug, but I don't think she was pleased with what we had to say.
"Which was what?"
Nylamae asked.
"We told her Ursinger is the one who's really behind the attack,"
Amriel offered in a tone that had an edge to it.
"And that the mad chief has made a pact with a demon lord, breaking the age-old treaty and gaining the power to drive the foul creatures of the twilight into the gloom."
I shot my partner a sidelong look. The Zinkari woman was overselling our chase a bit, but I knew she was still angry about the Dolrath chief's lack of action.
"And she just thanked you?"
Nylamae asked as her eyebrows knitted together.
"She didn't order the captains to gather, or send an emissary to the Kuradu? How do you know Ursinger is involved in all of this?"
"To be fair," I said in the interest of honesty, "we don't have physical evidence yet, but our sources are certain of it."
"And who are your sources?"
the raven-haired woman asked.
"Giving up a good source is how you lose them,"
Amriel snorted.
"But we are sure these attacks are just a way to get the tribes to fall in line behind the Yeni, and how Ursinger plans to unite the gloom under his flag."
"That would be just like Ursinger,"
Nylamae said in a dark tone.
"The man is unnatural and ambitious to a fault. Was Vemin present when you spoke to my mother?"
"The creepy guy in the robes?" I asked. Yeah, she kept looking over at him, until he tried to speak over her and she put him in his place.
It is good to know her sense hasn't completely left her.
The elven captain smirked before she let out a sigh.
Vemin is her new consort, and I do not care for how much influence he has had in the Great Hall.
The night elf woman stopped and looked back over her shoulder, where the glow of the pyre could be seen still. But her blue eyes seemed distant.
Will you come back to the encampment with me?
Nyleme asked Amrila and me after a length of silence.
If you're right, Ursinger is threatening the balance in the gloom. Even if my mother does not decide to openly move against him, at the very least she could meet with Murdrak of the Caradu, or send a spy to Ursinger's fortress to see if there is any truth to what you say.
Yeah, I said and looked over at Amrila. The sooner Ursinger is stopped, the better it is for everyone. And, now that I'd personally saved Nyleme and her men, maybe I would have more sway with her mother. Amrila and I traveled back along the river with the chief's daughter toward the tent city. Nyleme seemed tense as we walked, and Amrila and I exchanged glances. The young woman appeared to truly hate her mother's new boyfriend. Amrila and Nyleme had used all kinds of fancy words for the man, consort, lover, companion, but it was all the same thing. Nyleme's mom had a new boyfriend, and he was a dick. Once we got back to the encampment, the chief's daughter stormed through the streets as soldiers and villagers jumped out of her way. The red-skinned woman and I followed in Nyleme's wake, and even I had to take longer strides to keep up with the fuming elf. As we got near the meeting hall, I saw Bakoth lounging outside of a colorful tent, but when the red-headed man saw Nyleme stomping through the streets with the Zinkari woman and me in tow, he visibly perked up and got to his feet to follow. Once we reached the hall, Nyleme burst through one of the huge carved wooden doors and strode confidently into the building, and I tried to match the raven-haired woman's confidence, but not her energy. I was actually hoping to calm the chief's daughter down a little so that cooler heads could prevail.
Mother!
Nyleme called out from the middle of the hall.
Are you going to ignore every warning bell until chaos and darkness are already upon us?
Nyleme?
Ekname's voice had a warning tone in it.
This is not the place.
The tall, older warrior woman was sitting in her chair on the dais, and she held a goblet in one of her hands, while her other hand was entwined with her consort's. Then Vimin looked up from kissing Ekname's knuckles one by one and sneered.
Didn't you dismiss these outsiders, Your Grace?
The fancy man said to the chief in a low voice.
Next, they'll be saying the ceiling is caving in, or that the lost dwarves have returned.
I heard the wooden doors behind me, and then Bakoth came into the hall and stood next to my left.
What have I missed?
He whispered to me. Just Vimin being an asshole, I replied in a hushed tone.
When is he not?
Bakoth snorted.
Eddie,
Ekname said in a rich voice and pulled my attention back to the conversation at hand.
I believe I gave you a note of safe passage and that you were supposed to be leaving my lands.
Yes, ma'am, I said, and I put on my best boyish smile that I hoped worked as well with war chiefs as it did with middle-aged receptionists. But this was before I encountered the lesser demon again on our way out of your lands.
My soldiers and I were attacked, Mother.
Nyleme added.
Eddie and his partner Amrila came to our aid. If not for them, we might have been overwhelmed.
Amrila?
Vemin repeated in an oily voice.
The Zinkari thief.
I looked at my companion, and the horned woman's face was both calm and defiant.
A thief cannot aid an elven princess and the soldiers.
The red-skinned woman shrugged. Ekname, ma'am, I said as I took a step forward. I'm not trying to stir up trouble for the Dolrath or anyone, but it looks like trouble's already at your doorstep. I'm just asking that you listen.
I do not need the help of outsiders with spurious claims to greatness.
Ekname argued as she sat straighter in her chair.
I don't care who you are in the rest of the gloom. Here you are just another goblin, despite your fair face and stature.
Goblin?
Nyleme asked as she turned to me with a questioning expression.
You don't look at all like a...
It's a long story. I shrugged.
I am ordering you to leave the lands of the Dolrath.
The chief declared in a ringing tone.
If you ever find proof to back up your claims, you may return. Until then, I will not have outsiders making wild accusations and sowing division in my great hall.
Shit, I swore under my breath. I wanted to argue, but there was an edge to Ekname's tone now, and I knew we'd worn out our welcome. There was no use butting heads with the Dolrath now, especially if I wanted them to side with me later on. I turned to leave, and I put my hand on Amrila's arm to lead her out as I wondered just how I was going to find evidence against Ursinger.
I invoke the right of heirs.
Nylame suddenly intoned in a commanding voice that was very much like her mother's, and her words echoed out across the great hall.
What?
Vimin spat as he dropped Ekname's hand from his and glared at the younger female night elf.
Know your place.
The chief snapped at the man in the silk robes before she turned back to look at her daughter.
What do you mean, my child? I invoke my right to private counsel with you as your heir.
The young elven woman clarified.
And I wish for Eddie and Amrila to sit with us, but no one else.
I saw Nylame's eyes shoot toward Vimin, who was slowly turning a dark blue as a vein in his temple bulged, and I had to hold in a snort of laughter.
You all heard my daughter,
the chief said with an unamused expression.
Leave, all of you.
There was some grumbling as the Dolrath slowly filtered out of the great hall, accompanied by the sounds of benches scraping on the floor and heavy armored footsteps. Vimin rose from his chair last, kissed the chief's hand, and breezed past us without comment or acknowledgement.
It was just getting good.
Bakoth lamented next to me with a sigh.
Oh well, good luck, your highness.
The red-headed captain turned on his heels and followed the rest of the Dolrath warriors outside, and soon it was just the chief, her daughter, Amrila, and me. Once the hall was cleared, Ekname stood and descended the dais, and the older woman looked at her dark-haired daughter, and then to me and Amrila.
You have your private audience,
Ekname said in a calm, quiet voice.
What do you have to say?
How could you ignore the warning from these strangers?
Nylame spread her hands in a frustrated gesture.
I did not ignore them.
The chief shook her head.
I asked them for proof. They did not have any to provide, so I gave them safe passage through my lands.
But the shadow demon has attacked at least three groups of your people, I retorted. All within a matter of days. What are you going to do?
Thanks to you, I know what is behind the attacks,
Ekname stated with a stoic expression.
From what you have told me, I have surmised that they happen near water, so I will send my finest warriors to search along the river and around the lakes for the demon's lair.
But what about when Ursinger sent his next minion against you?
Amrila asked as she took a seat on one of the long wooden tables.
If he plans on taking over, then this won't be his last trick.
I do not know if that is his plan,
the chief objected. What about this? I asked as I fished the cloak pin out of my pocket. I found it near the gnomes by the western lake. I don't know if it has any significance to you. I pulled out the gold pin, with its strange triangular symbol with circles drawn at the end of each line, and handed it to the Dolrath chief, and the woman looked the pin over for a moment with a concerned look on her face.
This does look like the marks the demon lords use,
Ekname said after a moment.
Aha!
Amrila cheered in triumph.
What further proof do you need? Ursinger is in league with some abomination in the deeper dark.
It is a troubling discovery.
The chief agreed in a grave tone, and her red eyes met mine as she looked up.
But this does not mean that Ursinger is at the center of it.
You know, deep down, the Mad Chief has designs on dominating the whole of the gloom, Mother.
Nylame said as she took the older woman's hand.
If we sit back and do nothing, then it might be too late by the time we could find irrefutable proof.
And if I go to the Karadu with unfounded accusations, then Ursinger could manipulate the situation to look as if I was the one to break the treaty.
Ekname countered with pleading eyes.
I do not trust the Mad Chief any more than you do. But if I move against him, I must be sure to do so wisely and with great forethought. I will not unnecessarily risk our people. Or you, my daughter.
Amrila made a disgruntled noise from her perch on the table, but I shook my head. No. I said, that makes sense. You're a good leader and don't want to endanger your people. So it's up to us to find the proof you need. And quickly, from the sounds of it.
Why put yourself in the middle of all of this, Eddie?
Ekname asked in a speculative tone.
What stake does a goblin king have in the matters of the gloom?
Well, I replied as I adjusted the strap of my galil and thought of how to answer. I care about Ibsith and Amrila. And their lives are tied to the gloom in one way or another. And as long as Ursinger's in power, Their lives and happiness are at risk. Not to mention the gloom is near my home, so troubles are bound to spill over eventually.
Then we have a mutual interest in this venture.
Ekname nodded.
Find me proof of the Mad Chief's treachery, and then we will take it to Murdrak and convince the Karadju to stand with us against Ursinger. You have my word.
I held up my hand to the fierce chief and looked her right in the eyes. Ekname regarded me for a moment before she took hold of my forearm, and I grabbed her forearm back and smiled. You have a deal, I said.
Daughter,
Ekname said while still keeping eye contact with me.
See our friends to the edge of the encampment. Thank you, mother.
Nylame smiled at her chief with relief, and then the three of us left the great hall. As we walked to the edge of the tent city, I saw Bakoth standing outside of one of the colorful tents that looked like it served as a tavern, and the red-headed elf smiled and inclined his head toward me. I returned the gesture and turned back to Nylame. Thank you, I said to the dark-haired woman, for your help with your mom. It's not exactly what I was hoping for, but I feel like we're leaving on much better terms than last time we spoke to her.
My mother is stubborn and cautious,
the raven-haired elf replied.
But she will keep her word. I hope you're able to find something we can use.
Me too, I said, and I thought again about what would even serve as proof that someone has made a deal with a demon.
I just hope Ursinger isn't the overlord of the gloom by the time we find it.
Amrila grumbled. We'll figure it out, I said with a shrug. No reason to borrow trouble. At the edge of the city, we said our goodbyes to Nylame and walked away. But then I glanced over my shoulder and caught blue eyes lingering on me. The chief's daughter was an intriguing woman, and I kinda hoped I'd see her again. Amrila and I traveled south down the road for a distance, and then we stopped to rest and plan our next move. We found a spot off the road, near one of the few patches of gloom mushrooms this far from the river. I had my headlamp, and the horned woman had the flashlight close at hand. Neither of us trusted the shadows in these caves, and having the lights close at hand was comforting.
A little further south from here, the road branches off.
The Zinkari woman said as she took a sip of water from her canteen.
If we take the east branch, it'll take us to the tunnels that lead to the cavern outside of Bermshire that I mentioned.
If we head to the west, I countered as I took a handful of trail mix, we can take the southern tunnels back and maybe see the dwarves.
What do you want to see the dwarves about?
Amrila asked in a curious tone.
They weren't exactly happy with us the last time we saw them.
Sagor seemed like he wasn't too mad. I popped some of the peanuts in my mouth. All things considered, but those murals on the walls in the dwarven corridors looked like they were of the elves and dwarves fighting a big-ass demon thing. So, they might have some useful insights into what we're looking for. Plus, since that section of tunnels is unpopulated, we're less likely to run into any Yenny patrols or other issues.
That's true.
Amrila nodded.
So, we head west then?
Actually, it might be better to wait and see the dwarves until we bring them a peace offering. I added as I closed up the bag of trail mix and brushed the salt and crumbs off my hands. I just had the thought that we could give them some of those crystals we got from the dead gnomes. You said they were only valuable if someone knew how to process them. Would they know what to do with them?
If anyone would, it would be the dwarves,
Amrila said.
But I think we should keep some to sell all the same.
Okay. I smiled at my money-minded partner. We can keep some, but we need to bring the dwarves enough to convince them to help us. The red-skinned woman and I cleaned up any evidence of our presence and headed back to the road. The journey back to the alcove and the iron door was long, but luckily we didn't see any signs of the shadow demon or any other nightmares or enemies along the way. Eventually, we crossed the bridge that extended over the river, and we skirted the edge of the lake, not far from where we'd found the gnome harvesters. Then, we took the road north until we had to leave it and cross the rocky terrain to get to the alcove. Passing through the traps on the other side of the iron door was a breeze now that I had Sagor's ring, and we were able to get through the tunnels quickly. By the time Amrila and I reached my backyard, it was the middle of the night, so I slipped into the dark house and checked on Ibsith. She was sleeping like an angel in our bed, and I figured I'd wake her up when I got back from seeing the dwarves. Even though I was bone-tired, I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep with this bit of business on my mind. So I quietly closed our bedroom door, grabbed the bag of crystal shards, and went back out to meet the horned woman in the lilac bushes. Then Amrila and I headed back into the dark tunnels and followed them back through the southern tunnels. Maybe the lost dwarves would know what kind of evidence making a deal with a demon lord would leave behind.